Welcome to Journeys to Orthodoxy, a production of the Icon New Media Network, where Orthodox Christianity is the future of American spirituality. Journeys to Orthodoxy can be heard on the Orthodox Christian Network at www.myocn.net. I'm your host, Jacob Lee.
This week on Journeys, special guest host, Father James Early.
Welcome to Journeys to Orthodoxy. I'm Father James Early, filling in for Jacob Lee. And on this week's program, I'll be interviewing Michael and Jessica Fulton. So, with no further ado, let's go right ahead. How are you doing, Michael and Jessica?
We're doing fine.
Good.
If I'm not mistaken, this is the first time that on this podcast we've ever interviewed a couple at the same time. So, you're breaking new ground. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah. New ground in Orthodoxy.
So, what I'll probably do is I'll direct a question at one of you and then at the other. And obviously, you haven't been married your entire life, so you had separate trajectories that brought you eventually together and then into the Orthodox faith. So let's do that. So let's start with you, Michael. Tell me, what was in your home when you were born and you were growing up as a child and a teenager and all, what kind of household were you brought up as far as the religion or the faith? Were you brought up in a pious home, a Christian home, or some other type of home? Tell me about that.
Well, I was brought up in a Roman Catholic household for the most part. My parents were of mixed background. My mother was Roman Catholic. My father was Southern Baptist.
So it was a Baptist family?
It was a Baptist family, yes. And my father was sort of drawn into Roman Catholicism, but never really practiced it as far as my mother did. My mother was, I guess she's what you would call a submarine Christian. She would rise for services, for Easter and, mm-hmm. and Christmas and attend baptisms and things like that.
So C&E. Huh?
C&E.
Christmas and Easter Christian.
And maybe for funerals and things like that. But not as devout as some of my other family members. Really, it was my grandfather that took me to Mass regularly, and occasionally he would take me to a traditional Tridentine Mass down in Houston. But after he died, I sort of went into atheism and despair. And
really, how old were you at that point?
I was probably at the age of maybe 15. It was right around when he died.
So until you were 15, you went pretty much every week with your grandfather?
Every week. Occasionally, my parents would drop me off, and I would attend by myself.
Okay, and so were you, did you go through the catechism? Were you confirmed and all that?
I went through the catechism, and I was confirmed.
Okay. So. All right. And then your grandfather passed away when you were about 15, and you pretty much quit going after that.
I quit going.
Why did you do that?
I think it was just out of depression, and also just the fact that this was a person who had influenced my life, and now he was gone, and I didn't know what to do. And so maybe I feel that, or I felt that, I don't know, I guess God just had maybe left me at that point, maybe.
Okay, so you really believed in God, but you were maybe kind of mad at God?
I think that was the truth of it, if I can be so bold to say that. And with a lot of people that I've experienced who've sort of fell away from God and Christ, is that they'll say that they won't believe, but maybe on the inside, like me, they were truly just mad at God, sort of railing against him.
I think there's a lot of people like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so now you're in high school, and you are more or less a functioning atheist, if not a true atheist. You were basically, you didn't ever go to church anymore very much?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I met some people. One of those individuals was my Spanish teacher, mm-hmm. Who was Roman Catholic, and had actually converted to Orthodoxy just out of the blue and was going through the motions. He had become a catechumen.
No kidding. Huh?
And he was very, very interested in this. And so, you know, he was telling me about it, and I was like, that's interesting. And later on that week, he invited me to the Annunciation Greek Orthodox Festival. And I went
big,
there.
Big festival. Now, yes. Just to back up, you did grow up in Houston, right?
I did grow up in Houston, yes, and La Porte.
At La Porte, okay. Mm-hmm. So you did not, but did you attend a public school, I guess?
I attended a public school.
Wasn't a Catholic school.
It wasn't a Catholic school, no. I attended a public school, so it was mostly Protestants. A few Roman Catholics in the mix.
Was that La Porte High, right?
That was, that was.
For all our listeners that are
that
in Houston
was La Porte
area,
High, yeah.
If somebody's listening to this from, say, I don't know, Idaho or something, they don't have any idea what that is, but no, that's pretty close to where I went to school.
Yeah, go Bulldogs.
But we're digressing. So you went to the Greek festival, the huge Greek festival. For our listeners, this is a big Greek festival. I think it goes 4 or 5 days, and it gets thousands of
four
people.
4 or 5 days. They have shut off blocks just to have it.
And they have shuttle buses that bring people in. I've been before. You couldn't even move hardly. But anyway, so what about the Greek festival? How did that go?
So,
your impression of it?
Well, you know, the food was great at first, and I thought I was just going for, you know, souvlaki and loukoumades.
Opa,
yeah. And so they did church tours, and, you know, I was just curious, I guess, from a scholarly standpoint, and, you know, architecture, art. And when I went in, it was like I had entered the court of heaven. And, you know, the account of the Russians going into the Hagia Sophia for the first time, I can kind of understand what they felt. Because immediately I smelt something in the air, and it reminded me of incense. And this was something that I had missed from, you know, my old Tridentine days.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, now with the new Roman Catholic Mass, they very rarely even bring it out. So it was a very amazing experience. And they had a lecture there, and I listened to the lecture and the church tour, and they invited me to a service the next week. And so I believe it was an Orthro service on Sunday, and I just stayed for Orthros.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all in Greek. I mean, I didn't understand it, but it truly was beautiful, and I thought that maybe something was there, and so I started researching on my own.
And what year were you in high school at this point?
Oh, let's see, I graduated in 2003, so this was around maybe 2002, 2003.
Right. Okay, so maybe senior year?
Senior year.
Okay, all right. That's great.
I had a car by then, so I could, you know, pretty much go wherever I wanted to throughout the city of Houston.
What did your parents think about you visiting an Orthodox service?
They were upset. They were kind of upset with me being an atheist to begin with, but they were even more upset with me.
More upset. You went to an Orthodox service attending than being an atheist?
Well, mine are the opposite.
Well, I think it's a family thing. You know, they had raised their kid Roman Catholic, and, you know, they wanted me, I guess, to stay in the church even if it was just only a symbolic
even
thing.
If you never went.
Even if I never
you
went.
Just, they just wanted to, you to be Catholic
right,
on paper.
Right, just
at least.
To have
okay.
that title.
Interesting. Okay, so then what, I guess you went to your first service and you really were
right.
impressed with it. What did you do from there on? Did you go back any of your
high
school?
I didn't go back.
Oh, you never went, and you didn't even go to the liturgy?
I did not go to a liturgy.
Interesting.
No. Later on, though, when I got accepted to the University of Texas at Austin, I discovered that there was an Eastern Orthodox church there. Saint.
Well, hold on. I'm gonna call a timeout because I don't want to go to college yet.
Okay.
Okay. I'm gonna keep you in high school for a minute.
All right.
We're gonna go to Jessica, but that's interesting. And by the way, listeners, you did hear correctly. Michael graduated from high school in 2003. He's very young still, as is Jessica. Okay. So basically, one service. All one Orthodox service all during your high school years toward the end, and it left an impression with you, but not enough to really, I mean, did you ever really want to go back? Did you?
I did, but I think maybe with just the rush of being a senior and trying to get things ready for college,
You're too busy.
It was sort of put on the back burner.
And your parents didn't exactly encourage it. They didn't say, oh, that's cool. Let's all go back next week.
No, I mean, I'd research things on the internet. And, I mean, I was real active and looking at stuff on BeliefNet, especially the Eastern Orthodox part of it. And you know, they'd just be like, why are you reading that? Why do you want to change?
Did you start going back to your Catholic services more often?
I went occasionally, but I noticed that the old church that I had been brought up in was becoming increasingly, I guess the liturgy was becoming more, more like the sort of praise masses.
More Protestant, more evangelical.
More evangelical, you know, with electric guitars, which was something I'd never even experienced in a mass.
Interesting, yeah.
So.
It spreads everywhere. It's like a disease. No, okay. So I used to play guitar in services, so not electric, but okay. So that's interesting. Now I'm going to leave you. I'm going to stop and leave you getting ready to go to UT Austin Hook'em Horns. By the way, that's where I also went many years before that. And let's go to Jessica. Now, what was your upbringing like? Were your parents also very nominal? Were they pious, kind of in the middle? What was it like? And you were also Roman Catholic, right?
Yes. Okay. I was raised Catholic. My mother kind of came from an a-religious background. What had happened was she had an older sister that had died of leukemia when she was 4 years old. So her parents, her dad was... got kind of really angry at God, and so they never went to church that much when she was growing up. But she converted to Catholicism when she married my father. So my mother and my father were both Catholic. My father was always very pious and devout. He actually for college he went to seminary. He went to a Catholic seminary because he was considering being a priest. But had decided that I think really he wanted to marry and have a family. And so that's why he didn't become a Catholic priest. So he always was, very, very, devout. And I mean, we went to mass every Sunday pretty much. And so that's how I was raised. And
you did the catechism and confirmation.
I did the catechism. I kind of became increasingly unsatisfied with it, though. I think as I got older, I'm not a great social person, and so I found that the catechism tended to be more of a social hour, and I felt, slightly unfulfilled by some of the catechism.
You're a serious, studious type, and
yes,
you probably wanted real. Like, give me some information. Give me some
meat.
And you were probably just getting... I don't know. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but that sounds like what you're saying. It wasn't a real class, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Now, did you also grow up in La Porte, or where did you...
No, I was born in Michigan, but we moved to the Woodlands, which is a suburb north of Houston when I was 4 years old.
Okay, that's great. And so, take me up to, say, high school. Are you still going every week? I mean, you're in the youth group. You're, having fun.
Well, I was kind of, when I started to become a teenager, I started fighting my dad. I don't want to go to catechism. I don't like catechism. Don't make me go to catechism.
Teenager fighting against their parents.
That's exactly.
Hard to imagine, but,
you
rebel.
Being a teenager, I thought I, knew everything in the world, and...
you do until you realize you don't.
Yeah, and so...
I have a teenager myself, so... Anyway, she's about to go to college and get a good lesson in what she doesn't know, but go ahead.
So I, was fought against that, and eventually I, got to be probably about the same age as Michael, about, 15 or so, and... I just, decided that, organized religion doesn't really, fill people. It's all about, seeking your own path towards God or, some kind of just
rainbow?
Nonsense like that,
rainbows and butterflies?
Yes, exactly. that made no sense. And so I told my father, you know, I don't want to be confirmed. I don't really feel like I want to be part of the Catholic Church fully. Mm. And I don't think that, you know, I don't believe in organized religion. And so my father, that was the angriest I've ever seen him in his entire life. Mm. I locked myself in my room. He was so angry that he actually, like, kicked in the door. And
He kicked in the door?
Yes.
As in it was originally standing up and then it was on the floor?
Well, he didn't kick it down, but the hinge was broken, and there's a large crack in the molding because I was being, you know, rebellious. I refused to listen to, you know, my parents, and mm-hmm. I refused to obey them. And so he had no other choice. So he took me to this confirmation retreat, and I refused to participate in the confirmation retreat. The confirmation retreat director came and talked to me, and I told him I didn't want to be confirmed. So he sent me home after about a day.
You got kicked out of the confirmation retreat.
Yes, I got kicked out of the confirmation retreat.
I can't believe this, Jessica. Our listeners don't know this, but you're very, not a rebellious type of person at all.
Yes, I really am. I really am very willful.
Michael is laughing. Why are you laughing?
You haven't seen Jessica.
I haven't been to your house.
She's passionate about something.
I'm mean. I'm about to spell.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
All right, well, you still got time to grow out of that. Are you guys even 25 yet?
I'm 24.
I was 23 last week.
Well, you know your brain is not fully 100% developed until you're 25, right?
Wow.
So I'll cut you some slack on that.
Okay.
It's true. All right, anyway, we're digressing again. This is getting crazy. That's probably going to get edited out. Go ahead and continue the story before I so rudely interrupt it. So you're kicked out of the camp.
Yeah.
You're a confirmation school dropout.
Yes, so I don't know. And so after that, I just didn't know what I was really doing in life or living for. Mm-hmm. And it was a very dark, rebellious, you know, kind of teenage phase, and mm-hmm. I didn't know what I was doing. And finally, towards the end of in my junior year, I was very depressed, like Michael, angry. Mm-hmm. I was in a very depressed phase, and all of a sudden, you know, I was like, you know, I have to get myself out of this. What am I doing? And so I had a friend who had converted to Christianity because she was brought up Unitarian,
mm-hmm.
And later fell away, sadly. But and so I asked her, you know, I'd heard, you know, people talking about C.S. Lewis, so I asked her to borrow her copy of Mere Christianity. So I read that and mm-hmm. found C.S. Lewis very persuasive, mm-hmm. convincing, mm-hmm. very intellectual.
That's the perfect thing probably for you to read, at least at that point. You're
yes, because I wanted to, actually, when I went into college, I wanted to be a linguistics major, and C.S. Lewis was a philologist, so mm-hmm. he just really appealed to me. And so I was kind of convinced by that, and so my towards the end of high school, I decided, you know, well, I want to be a Christian again, and I know I don't want to be a Catholic, because I didn't feel fulfilled by Catholicism, so I thought, well, there's Catholic and there's Protestant, so I'll be a Protestant. And so I went to the Methodist church around, had some friends, and, you know, was kind of wandering
around. Was that first
around.
Methodist of the Woodlands? If you,
yes.
Yeah.
It looks almost Byzantine in its structure.
I know, it's got a dome. Like, yes. Folks, this is the only Methodist church I've ever seen in the world with a dome, yeah.
But you walk
My
in
sister
it,
used to go yes. there a long time ago.
It looks like a hotel lobby, actually. They have aquariums when you walk mm-hmm. in. It's a beautiful building.
Do you have to go check in at the reception desk?
Yeah.
Concierge.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. So I did a couple of Protestant Bible studies in my last year of high school, and then I was also accepted into UT at Austin. And the next part of the story continues from there.
Okay, so now what did you start out studying in college? Philology?
Yes. I should have been a philologist, mm-hmm. honestly, but I did linguistics because philology is...
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Kind of... It's... I don't want to go astray, but linguistics has become very scientific and rooted in the theories of Noam Chomsky, who's very scientific, uber intellectual. Mm-hmm. And so I started out doing linguistics, and I just wanted to study the history of language, and eventually became disenchanted with that. I was double majoring in Spanish, and eventually ended up majoring in Spanish in college.
So. And what did you start out studying?
Well, I originally wanted to get into philosophy because in high school, with the absence of religion, I just started reading a whole bunch of Nietzsche, Kierkegaard, existentialists, things like that.
And listeners, these are both very deep intellectual type people here, and he did not go to UT for the football team.
Well, I didn't even go to a football game.
What?
Yeah, I know.
This concludes the interview. Thank you for joining us. What do you mean you didn't go to a football game? The year we were number one in the nation.
I know.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm digressing. Continue. So you're in college, and you're going to do philosophy, right?
But right.
Did you stick with that?
No, because my mother said, no, I want you to do, you're going to become an obstetrician. I'm like, okay. So.
Why?
Yeah. So I
she wanted you to make a lot of money.
Right. So I'm in the College of Natural Sciences, and I go through this chemistry class, and during the middle of it, I find out that I'm just not good at science at all, and so I wanted to switch my majors, and I started looking at the different things that were available. I tried Middle Eastern studies. But they really didn't have anything to offer as far as ancient Middle East, I was interested.
It's all modern.
Right, it's all modern, and mostly just a lot of, as far as religion, Islam is pretty much all the rage. There at the Middle Eastern Studies Department.
Especially since 2001.
Right. Especially since September the 11th.
Yeah.
And there was just not much there. And so I just figured out, I've got to find something I'm interested in here. So I looked through the catalog, and I found classics.
Mm.
I was like, okay. So found out that it was pretty much Latin and Greek. And I went in, and they accepted me into the classics program there, and I went and started taking my first courses in Greek and ancient history, Greek history. And, at that point, I was sort of teetering between, well, should I continue studying philosophy, or should I go and, make the plunge? And I had picked up a book at the library called The Orthodox Way by Callistos Ware.
Yes.
And I started reading it. And he took the Nicene Creed, which was something I had recited in my prayers as a child, but I really never understood it. It was just something that you just said it wrote. And he took it, and he broke it down, chopped it down. And I said, okay. And I guess it's... I suppose everybody comes to this point where they remember the house of the father, the story of the prodigal son.
Yeah, because I wanted to ask, now, when you arrived at UT, you were still pretty much a nominal Catholic, right?
Right. I mean, they had Catholic groups on campus.
I mean, did you do any major, I wanted to take you back a step. Did you do any major searching? Okay, now I'm in college, so maybe I'll look around, do this church, that church. I mean, a lot of people do that. I did that myself.
Well, I looked, and... I mean, Protestantism didn't really appeal to me, I guess, just because of my Roman Catholic roots and growing up around my grandfather and listening to what he had to say about Protestantism. of course, big French Cajun after three glasses of wine, he could say a lot about Protestantism.
I
imagine
so.
And I looked at the different Catholic groups on campus, and none of them really appealed to me, and so... I said, why don't we just go ahead and give this orthodoxy thing a try?
And this was your very first semester at UT?
This was my very first semester at UT.
Right.
And so one night I went on the internet and found St. Elias Antiochian Orthodox Church. And it was just about a few blocks away from my dorm room, and I walked there.
What dorm were you in?
That year I was in Prather.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. Good thing I wasn't a jester, though.
Yeah, not that any of them are deluxe hotels, five stars or anything.
Right.
Okay, so you were able to walk.
I was able to walk. And
St. Elias's, that's great.
Right.
Well, what was your first, what was it like the very first time you showed up? Tell me, what was your experience?
It was a Vesper service. Hardly anybody was there. It was a very, very small church compared to Annunciation. And after this, I mean, it was beautiful.
Almost every Orthodox church is, at least in the U.S. Yeah. Go ahead.
But it was a beautiful, beautiful service. And I kept seeing a small head peeking out.
Mm-hmm.
A man with a goatee and short white hair, short gray hair. And after the service, I stepped out, and he came out to talk to me, and that was Father Elias Nasser.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very welcoming, encouraged me to come back, gave me his email address, and the next day I showed up for Orthros and Liturgy.
Mm-hmm. And you went for the whole serving.
And first I was like, appetizer. This is long. This is long. What are they doing in the service? And thankfully, I had a few people there, one of whom would become a very good friend of mine, Vasiliki Oldsey, or Billy Oldsey, who pretty much just stood there with me and said, this is how you cross yourself. This is what we're doing in the service. This is what's happening. This is what the priest is doing. And I had more people at St. Elias that was like that.
Your own personal tour guide through the liturgy.
Right.
That's great. Now, was it, how much English was used?
It was pretty much all in English.
Okay, Father so very different from your first experience.
Right.
At the Annunciation, yeah.
Also, there was, it was more, I guess, international, because they mm-hmm. did things in English, they did things in Greek, Arabic, and Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was mostly, I would say, maybe 98% English. So, very, very different. Very different. And I finally, after a few Sundays...
So you went back the very next Sunday.
I went back the very next Sunday.
This is good. I got to have some more of it.
Right. After this. And I finally made the decision. This is where it's at. This is what I'd been looking for. This is what I missed from my childhood.
So all of your reading, your childhood experience, and your worship experience kind of converged at one time. And
correct.
Kind of all came together, and it just really fit.
Right. And I spoke with the priest, and he says, okay, let's go ahead and make you a catechumen.
Are you still in your first semester?
Or? I'm still in my first semester.
Okay, great.
And then later on, my next semester, at on Holy Saturday, they made me Orthodox. They chrismated me.
That's great. So that was 04?
That was 04.
Was it just you, or was it... Other people as well came in.
There were other people as well, and my godfather, Professor David Armstrong, stood in for me. So it was nice having a godfather who could sort of relate to me, I guess, as far as interests.
I assume he's also a convert.
Yes, he is a convert from Episcopalianism.
I see. Okay, so you got in. They let you in. Huh?
They let me in.
In 04. That's terrific. Thank God. Now, let me leave you there.
Okay.
I'm going to go back over to Jessica. All right. The chrism is just drying off for you, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you started college in 03, right?
Oh,
fall of 03. Right. When did you start?
I started in 04.
Okay, so one year later.
I'm a year and a half younger than Michael.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm a stickler for dates, so it's the only way I can keep all this together. So now you arrive at UT in the fall of 04, and you are a more or less Methodist, right?
Well, I don't know, because I didn't really know what. I just wanted to be Christian. Like,
okay.
I was into the whole non-denominational thing,
okay.
I suppose. And so I did do the exploring and different Christian groups in college thing, because I didn't know what to do.
What all types of churches did you visit?
Well, I had some friends. My roommate was a big evangelical, so she took me to a couple different groups, and then I went around.
Like non-denominational?
Yeah, a couple of non-denominational church. And
were they pretty close to campus. I'm just curious.
One of them was sometime, and then also I went with another friend from high school, and we were trying to find this one other non-denominational church, and we just got lost. We got lost, and we started driving around. We drove around for 30 minutes, and we just randomly had no idea where we were going. And
you got lost.
Yes.
You needed to be saved.
And ended up over in, like, the Bee Caves area, which is way far away from the center of the city.
One time I visited this great big Bible church in the northwest part of town. I wonder if that's where you're trying to head.
Probably.
I can't remember what it was called. But anyway, go ahead. Back to you.
Yeah,
what other faiths did you explore, or denominations, I should say?
Well, there was... So I was looking for a Bible study, and, you know, I went around, and there's lots of, you know, evangelical groups that advertise themselves very, you know, well around the campus. So I joined one of those and got in with them.
Was this like Campus Crusade or
University
or something like that?
It was Hope 242.
Hope 240. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
We talked about that once. Like,
yes.
Based on Acts 242.
They dined together and...
They were all one accord and, fellowship and breaking of the bread. I got
you.
So did they?
So I did that and the Bible study, and didn't know what I was... I went to their church for a while, and then eventually I kind of had a falling out with my Bible study group. I tend to get myself kicked out of, apparently, religious groups.
I see a pattern developing. Did they kick in your door also?
No, they did not.
Good.
They did not, but what happened was that I told them that I didn't understand the judgmental God of the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed like the God of the Old Testament was different from the God of the New Testament.
Mm.
Not realizing that this was a heresy that had gone back all the way
to the next Sunday
century.
You went to
Marcion.
First Gnostic church.
The Gnostics, the Marcions, and whatever. And so I told them, I don't understand how God can be so judgmental. And then the book of, you know, and Joshua, and he orders, you know, Joshua to kill these poor, innocent, mm-hmm. you know, poor, innocent heathen tribes. And so I got in a big fight with that, and they basically didn't know how to respond, you know, because they just, you know, would quote to me, you know, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, but couldn't tell me the historical background and, you know, church history to do that. So I just kind of fell away from this Hope group that I was in, which is what they call their Bible study groups. So after that, I was like, well, I still want to be a Protestant. So I went, there was a...
I'm going to interrupt for a second. You never went back to the Catholic Church, or did you ever attend a Mass?
I did. I went to a couple Catholic... I went to the Newman Center a couple times, which is the... once or twice after I fell away from the Hope group, I was like, well, maybe I should be Catholic. Or maybe not. I don't really know. So I went to... There was a Baptist church right by my dormitory. And so I went there a couple times, and there was also an Anglican church, an Episcopalian church.
You said a Baptist church?
There was a Baptist church.
Near your dorm?
Yeah, I was in the honors dorms.
University Baptist? Or?
I don't remember what the name was.
It wasn't Hyde Park, was it?
I don't remember.
You would remember Hyde Park. Anyway,
no, I don't.
It was north of campus.
It was pretty small. It was on the drag. It was on Guadalupe. It was right on Guadalupe.
That's University Baptist.
Yes, it was the University Baptist Church. And then there's also the Episcopalian Church. I think it was...
All Saints, right? Just north of campus. Yeah,
right,
I used to attend there.
It was also a block from my dormitory. So I went there, and then I was like, well, I don't know. So maybe I'll go back to the Catholic services. So I went back to, you know, to the Newman Center a couple times, and it's like, that's there. So, and I didn't, you know what to do at this point. And so I was looking more into the Episcopalians. And this was also at the same time, this was all my first semester of college. You know, thank God I met Michael the first time in January.
How'd you meet him? I'm curious.
Well, what had happened...
It wasn't eHarmony.com.
It wasn't eHarmony. It was almost kind of Facebook, though, to tell you the truth.
You're kidding me.
No, see, what happened was we had a biology class together. We never really talked in this biology class, but you know how it links you up and it suggests friends and whatever on Facebook, so... Him being in one of my biology classes, I think it suggested him as a friend or something one time. So I read his profile, And I sent him a message telling him that I thought he was weird because his political views were listed as conservative, and I was trying to be, still liberal somehow and evangelical at the same time. I'm not really sure how that worked. And I was just kind of confused, and as you can tell. And so I sent him a message, and we started talking, and then we talked on the internet for a while, went out for coffee, and met Michael, thank God. And,
okay, I just want to break in and say to the listeners, okay, folks, this is a couple from the new generation, okay? This is a 21st century couple. They met through Facebook, and that's just really neat. I think that's cool. Anyway, go ahead.
Sorry. Yes, we are.
I feel very much older all of a sudden.
And we got to know each other through Instant Messenger before we met for coffee the first few times.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yes.
At least to me it is. It's probably the norm nowadays.
Probably.
Okay, so you met Michael and he said, hey, why don't you come to my church?
Exactly.
Right, yeah?
So he took me to liturgy, and he took me to Orthros and liturgy as well.
All right. Jump in with both feet. I love it.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what was your impression? You had never been to an Orthodox service before, right?
No.
First time.
And I don't think I had as much of a traditional background as he did because he, was brought up a traditionalist Catholic, and I was brought up what he would call a Novus Ordo Catholic, our services were almost, Protestant anyway to begin with.
Did you have guitars and drums and whatnot?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We had guitars, flutes sometimes, saxophone, piano, whatever, different assorted instruments.
So it was probably major culture shock for you, more so than it had been for Michael, right?
Yeah, more so. I would definitely say that.
So, let's say after 30 minutes, what were you thinking? I'm curious.
I just didn't know what was going on. I just didn't understand anything that was going on at all.
What is this? Why am I here?
Yeah.
Okay.
She didn't know what was going on. I go up for communion, come back, give her a piece of bread, and she's like, "What's this?" And I'm trying to explain to her, "This is blessed bread. You can have it. It's okay."
Okay.
And it was very interesting, and I think she just was just lost.
Is that right, Jessica?
Yeah.
Is that a fair summary?
So, yes. I had no idea.
So what did you think of this first service? Thumbs up or thumbs down? Kind of in the middle?
Probably thumbs down. I thought it was too long. I didn't understand why these people stood for so long.
Wow.
And I didn't understand why it was so long and why it was so repetitive and why they crossed themselves so much.
Uh-huh.
And I just thought it was strange.
So you probably didn't go and say, Michael, I've got to go back next week, too. Can I please come back?
No. Don't think so. I think it probably took him another month to get me to come back.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, are you still in your first semester or are you in your second?
This was, he brought me for the first time in, I think, January or February
of 05.
My second semester of college. Yes.
Right. And, we were sort of dating at this point. And, after having discussions and, I was at the point of also talking to my priest because I was considering joining the priesthood, going through seminary at this point.
That was quick.
And, well...
You got the bug real early, huh?
Well, almost right after I had been made Orthodox, Father Elias drugged me into the altar and made me an altar server.
Okay. Put you to work.
So put me to work. And, I'd been an altar server as a child, and I loved it. But this was just a whole new experience for me. And, there's nothing more, there's nothing, and I still say this today, even, serving as a reader and as an altar server, there's nothing that I get, I guess, more out of life than serving behind the altar.
Uh-huh.
And
I want to say, folks, too, that Michael serves altar at St. Joseph every Sunday, and he does a great job. We have two really wonderful guys. But anyway, you don't have to say yes or no to that. I know, be humble and just be quiet, and I'll just brag on you. But anyway, so you started doing it at in Austin at St. Elias, and
right.
Did you pretty much do it every week?
Pretty much every week.
That's
and so eventually we got a new priest, Father David Barr. And I was talking to him, and he says, first of all, he said, are you serious? about this relationship? And I said, yes.
What relationship?
The relationship that I have with Jessica.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And because he broke up with me a week.
Because I broke up with her. Because
You didn't make the cut.
We didn't see eye to eye.
Mercy.
I actually, it was because I told him that I believed in gay marriage at the time.
Oh, okay.
And so we kind of had a philosophical divergence. And
right.
So
disagreement, you're out the door.
We broke up for a few days.
Okay. And so I began speaking to people at church, you know, what I should do. And a few of them have had, you know, experiences where, you know, they've met somebody, they want to form some sort of relationship with that individual, but that individual may not be receptive to orthodoxy. And they said, and one person, you know, just told me, look, you just need to show her love and bring her back. These things will work itself out if you truly have love for this person. And so I went back and...
You didn't have any desire to be a lifelong celibate priest?
I didn't feel called to that.
Yeah.
I went back to Jessica and I said, you know, let's get back together. Let's restart a relationship. But... give it one more try. Just give it one more try. Just stay with me.
Mm-hmm.
And
the church.
Did.
You're talking about the church.
Church,
not the relationship.
Yes.
Okay. So he talked you into coming back to the church again. And then what was it like the second time?
I think I started to, you know, after going through it a few times, you start to understand more and more as the more liturgies you go to. I've told people in the past that I think you really need to go to 50 liturgies to really begin to understand the basics.
50?
Yeah.
50?
Yeah.
Well, that would be pretty much a year that I can see where you're coming from. You go through the entire cycle, yeah.
Yeah. And so I was still kind of lukewarm and trying to decide where to go, but I think what really, really drew me in was Pascha. After going, Michael brought me to some of the Holy Week services, and it was just...
This is still 05?
Yes, okay. This is that spring, after we'd been dating about 3 months at the time, and Holy Week was just, it was just so vivid, and it just, I don't want to say emotional, but it just, it had this depth that I had never really seen before, because... I honestly don't remember going to any Holy Week services ever as a Catholic.
Yeah.
And then he brought me to Pascha, and it was just the brightest thing in the world.
Mm. So you didn't mind standing up a lot, and you didn't mind the late hour?
No, well, I mean, it was difficult at the time, but I mean, looking back on it, that just, once you hit Pascha, after Pascha, the trials of Lent and Holy Week are kind of overcome by the brightness.
And know? I guess he was fasting all this time, right?
Yeah.
Because it would have been your first
Holy
Lent, your first Lent as an Orthodox Christian. So what'd you think of that? You think it's pretty weird?
Well, yeah, I thought the fasting was completely weird. No idea. And I must have tortured Michael looking back, because we would go to the cafeteria for dinner every night. And I would go through and I'd get, you know, the big plate of roasted grilled chicken or like, I don't know, the lasagna or whatever they were serving that night. And he would be sitting over there with his salad and his, you know, his chips or whatever he found that was somewhat Lenten in the cafeteria. Mm-hmm. And that must have been torturous for him. So,
okay. But after Pascha, then did you start warming up? I mean, let me ask you a question straight up. Did he pressure you any, or are you just, more like come and see approach? Well, that's good.
Yeah, he never did. He never was like,
that usually backfires. Yeah.
Eventually, you know, he told me, I think, the turning point was during the summer, that first summer after he'd taken me to Orthodox services, and, I'd gone to services with him, and I decided that summer, you know, he told me eventually that, you know, I have aspirations to the priesthood, and, you know, I knew that if I wanted to be his wife, that I would have to become Orthodox. But, I mean, that wasn't why. I just, we kept attending services, and we actually ended up back in Annunciation because we were both at home.
Did you read very many books?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I started reading.
You never heard of St. Joseph's, I guess, at that time, huh?
No. No, we had not
heard
of St. Joseph's.
Okay, but you guys were, I mean, you know, we're way out in the West. You guys were probably not. Were you living at your parents' home? So you're way out east. Michael's out east and Jessica's north. And for our listeners who don't know this, Houston is a gigantic town. Like, Jessica's home is, well, if it's in the Woodlands, it's going to be at least 30 miles from our church. And LaPorte is probably 30 also, mm-hmm. if not more, maybe 35, 40. So you might have been 35 or 40 miles yourself, Jessica.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm pulling us off track again. But so you're going to Annunciation Cathedral together during the summer. And tell me more. I cut you off a minute ago. The reading. What were you reading? What kind of books did you find helpful?
Well, the first book he gave me was The Orthodox Church, Police Does Wear, mm-hmm. Metropolitan Wear. I don't know. He gave that to me right, like, when he brought me to my first services. And so I didn't really understand the historical background, I think. I think I really need to understand the liturgics and the church life first before getting all that history. I just started reading some of the church fathers. And I had, a compilation of the anti-Nicene fathers. And mm-hmm. I started realizing, you know, these liturgical practices they're describing, this isn't like what I've seen in a Protestant church. This isn't like what I've even seen in my, you know, Catholic church that I was raised in. This is what I've seen in an Orthodox church. And so that kind of drew me in. And that's what really got me, was reading some of the anti-Nicene fathers and seeing that and the incense and obviously the veneration, just the respect.
So, when did you start moving toward converting?
Well, in about July of that summer, I remember going with Michael to Annunciation and just seeing his piety and really his love for God. And I just remember standing there when he was reciting Chrysostom's communion prayer and thinking, you know, He has such a good heart. This is someone I would want to marry, and so I kind of decided that I would want to marry this Michael Fulton here. That summer after we'd only been dating for about 6 months, and
he's a keeper.
Yeah, and so from there,
around,
you know, I thought, well, I don't know what Orthodoxy is. I don't really understand it all at this point, but I know I want to be with Michael and I want to share that with him. And so that fall when we went back to college to UT, I went up to Father David Barr, and I told him, you know, I think I want to be a catechumen, very, very nervously. Uh-huh. I was very intimidated by Father David. and still am to some degree, even, you know, by priests and even you, Father James. Oh, you're so down to earth that you kind of take away the
nobody's afraid of me.
Yes. And so I
except my former students from my school teaching days. But anyway, go ahead.
Approach very nervously.
It's a humbling thing, you know, because to become a catechumen, by definition, you're coming in and you're saying, I don't know squat, and I need somebody to teach me. And to me, that's a big act of humility. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And yes, yeah, so I just, and Father James was like, okay, well, what we do is we have these classes, and you come every week after liturgy, and, you know, we'll put you through that, and you'll go through the classes, and you'll, eventually become Orthodox. And I was like, okay, so went to the classes, and... Yeah.
So were you chrismated the following Holy Saturday or around that time?
Yes, that was 06.
So this is 2 years after you, okay, all right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it was because he started, he became a catechumen almost immediately mm-hmm. when he came into college, and it took
yeah.
another year.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And being a year younger anyway, so.
So... That's terrific. So let me see. When did he pop the question on you?
Well, that was kind of strange because Michael was thinking about going to seminary and getting married after, you know, right before he was became a priest or he became a deacon.
Yeah.
So I was, we were both thinking about going, you know, to seminary, and I just thought I would, you know, follow him and we'd live separately until his, you know, his second year. And so Father David was kind of like, well, you know, Michael, why don't you just marry her right after you graduate from college? I mean, it'll be so much easier. You can live together all through seminary.
Wise words.
And so Michael's kind of like, huh, so do you want to do that? And I was like, oh, okay.
That's an interesting way to ask
it. Idea. And
so no candlelight dinner, you know.
No, no.
Getting on his knees and pulling a ring out of the blue. Okay.
He didn't, no. And eventually he...
Very rational way to handle it. I would expect no less from Michael.
He did, and he eventually got the ring. And after getting it resized once or twice, finally we went and picked up the ring. And so he just kind of handed me the ring. He's like, here's the ring. And I was like, no, you have to propose, Michael. And you
have to formally
knees and tell me you love me.
Get on your knees.
Yes.
That's
funny.
So
we kind of had to, We're not very romantic people.
I can see that. It's like not even a formal proposal. Well, all right, whatever works. So when were you married?
We were married right after we graduated. I graduated in 3 years so that I could get out with him.
June 2nd, St. Nikephoros' Day.
Yeah, and so it was June 2nd of 2007.
It was 07. Okay.
We're coming up on 2 years and next month.
That's right. Okay, I lost
it. Our two-year anniversary.
Wow, that's great. Now, so bring us up to the present. Tell me about, I guess, Michael, or either one of you.
Well, I had originally, at that time, applied to seminary, and I got a letter back from Metropolitan Philip and Bishop Pontoon telling me that I needed to wait a year. I was devastated at that point because...
I remember that, yeah.
Because I did not know what I was going to do.
That's horrible.
And I remember calling up my mom and... You know, and, you know, even though my mom has not really had an active church life, she said, Michael, if God wants you to do this, he's going to provide another way.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, why don't you just come back to Houston, go get your teaching certificate, and teach school for a while. You know, it's a good job, it's pretty stable. Why don't you just do that? And you like teaching people anyway. So I said, okay, and we eventually went back to Houston. I got a job teaching a world geography, economics, and government class at a local high school here in Houston. And Jessica got a job as a translator and a customer service rep at Vacations to Go.
Qué bueno.
Yeah.
Yes. That was the very simplified version, I'll have you know, because Michael didn't want to originally be a school teacher.
No.
He applied for about 50 different jobs.
We were
trying to live in Austin. Applied to Dell there. Applied to
You mean Dell didn't want experts in Greek and Latin?
No.
Applied to Academy. He tried to get a job at Academy.
You could translate the instruction manual into Greek.
Ancient Greek binary.
So after not being able to find any other job, Michael fell back on the public school system, I think is really what the story was.
And what kind of church life did you get yourself involved with?
Well, I didn't know what church to go to as far as, because there was just so many.
Why didn't you just go back to Annunciation?
Because we wanted to be Antiochian.
You wanted to be, because you had been an Antiochian. Okay,
right.
Been an Antiochian.
You developed a liking for the style of worship and everything.
Right.
Okay.
And
at St. Elias.
At St. Elias, and so I was a reader already, and I had contacted Father David and
Bishop Basil.
Well, I asked Father David first, and Father David said you need to talk to Bishop Basil because, you know, he'll know where to put you. And I got an email back from His Grace, and he says, I think St. Joseph would be good for you. Mm-hmm. You would be good for St. Joseph's. And that's what he said. And so I went to St. Joseph's, and
And they were really mean to you there.
And flogged me and made me walk on coals.
Yeah. We have tough membership requirements.
Yeah.
So that worked out pretty good for
that
you.
That worked out pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. The clergy were total crazy men. Total maniacs.
Throwing things at Pascha, yeah.
Yeah, you got to watch out. At St. Joseph, you might just get hit with a flower. Or,
right. End up with lavender in your eye.
Yeah, so you've been serving at the altar.
Mm-hmm.
And you also, I'll just tell the listeners, you are basically our backup epistle reader. We have another tonsured reader who's been here quite a while. But when he's not there, you read the epistle and you help with the altar and... That's great. We appreciate having you.
Thank you.
And you are going to be going to seminary, God willing, when?
Starting this fall.
And which seminary?
Holy Cross in Brookline, Massachusetts.
So your Greek background will come in handy?
I suppose so.
And tell everybody else the other language that they want you to learn.
Oh, Arabic.
Mm. And you've started, right? You've already...
I took a class in Arabic, actually, a semester.
In college?
In college.
Oh, that's good.
So, yeah. I don't remember it.
You don't remember it?
I remember the alphabet. I know how to kind of read it, how to write my name in Arabic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'll just tell the listeners, it's fun to have Jessica and Michael because they attend my adult Sunday school class that I teach. And if I ever need them to look up a Bible verse real quick or something, or if I need... If I need to know what it says in the Greek, Michael's there with his Greek New Testament. He finds it and helps straighten me out. So we missed you guys. They were gone for a couple of months, subbing for another class. But we're glad you're back. All right, well, we're going to have to kind of wrap this up. Unless, is there something in the pilgrimage that I've... Oh, let me... there is one thing I want to ask you. You mentioned your mother. I want you both to tell me, how did your parents react to you becoming Orthodox, not just going to a service, but actually becoming Orthodox?
At the beginning, my parents were just sort of freaked out. They had actually went to our festival at St. Elias, mm-hmm. and I was giving them a church tour, and they saw people kissing icons and things like that, and they thought that they had walked into a cult.
They didn't know their history very well.
Well, yeah. And I eventually talked to my mother. My father was actually very, very receptive, very interested, very, very cool about the whole thing, whereas my mom was just kind of put off about it. But I think eventually over time, and after my mother saw our wedding, I think that sealed the deal for her.
It's a powerful service.
And, I mean, she still was kind of iffy about it, but I remember her one day saying, well, if Mike becomes a priest, I guess we'll have to all become Orthodox.
There you go.
Hopefully,
so you hold them to the deal, huh?
Right?
So, yeah, but so they haven't quite said sign me up yet.
Not yet.
But you're,
I'm
working
I'm
on. All right, that's for. What about you, Jessica? What are your folks?
Well, my parents were actually very happy. I think my dad was just after I told him I didn't believe in organized religion. Everything after that was uphill from there. He was even supportive of me when I thought I was trying to become Protestant, you know. And he would have supported that if I told him I wanted to, you know, be an Episcopalian. But I think my parents were very supportive. My parents drove all the way to Austin to attend my chrismation.
Wow.
And took pictures. My dad was very happy for me. And I think he loves Michael, and was, you know, very happy about our marriage. And my parents, especially my dad, I'd say that my mom isn't religious, but my dad is more so. And I would say, and he's just been, my parents are wonderfully supportive. So,
yeah, that's great.
They might not quite understand the Orthodox thing, they think it's kind of just a different branch. You know, my dad just kind of sees it as the church kind of went in two separate directions. Mm-hmm.
The two lungs of the same body.
Exactly. Yeah, and that thinks that the Orthodox and the Catholics could get back together and... God willing, would be wonderful. I'd love that if that would be, that's, you know, our both of our wildest dreams. But,
Well, tell me, it's funny you said that thing about organized religion. Did you ever tell them the joke about how if you hate organized religion, you'll love the Orthodox Church? You know, have you ever heard that one? You never heard that saying? You know, because we're so disorganized in many ways.
No,
we don't have a pope. We've got, 15 patriarchs or whatever. So, yeah, tell them that one. They'll get a kick out of it.
Yeah.
And they probably won't get it, but you know, we don't have just one service book. We have to have 10 at the same time going. If you've ever chanted, you know. Okay, so I want to wrap up with one final question, and whoever wants to go first can. This is something that we often ask our guests on this podcast. How has becoming Orthodox changed your life? I'm mainly thinking in a spiritual way, but you can say answer that however you want.
Well, I don't know if this would put people off, but it has made me realize how sinful I really am. And I'm not saying that in a bad way, but I think it's made me look at my own life, I guess, through a microscope and see, mm-hmm. you know, what do I have to deal with in my life? What are my main responsibilities? Whereas, you know, everything else, it doesn't amount to much, except that one thing, and that's Christ.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's powerful. I think a lot of people have had that same experience. I know myself, I have. What about you, Jessica?
I would say something similar, but kind of, I would say that it just has made me realize how helpless I am, how completely and utterly dependent I am on God, and how just, I can't even wake up in the morning, you know, just every you know, just waking up in the morning and drawing breath is just made me realize how I can't do anything. I'm completely helpless, hopeless, you know, without God directing me in everything.
That's great. Well, thank you. We're certainly going to miss you. Are you going to stay through August, or when do you think? What's your target?
We're probably going to leave maybe at the end of August.
Okay, well, so we've still got, almost 4 months. Mm-hmm. So that's great. Might see if we can maybe get that delayed another year so we can keep selfishly keep you one more year. No, I think you're going to be a wonderful priest, Michael, and you'll be a wonderful curia or presbytera if you go, you know, hang out with the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese. But thank you for coming on the show. And this has been Michael and Jessica Fulton on Journeys to Orthodoxy, and I'm Father James Early, coming to you from the Southern Command Post of the Icon New Media Network studios. We wish you all a blessed week and a blessed rest of the Pascha season, or whenever you might be listening to this, may the Lord bless you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to Journeys to Orthodoxy, a production of the Icon New Media Network, where Orthodox Christianity is the future of American spirituality. Would you like to share your journey with us? Please do so by contacting us at journeys@iconnewmedianetwork.com. Journeys to Orthodoxy can be heard on the Orthodox Christian Network at www.myocn.net.